This podcast does contain spoilers, so if you're okay with that, listen on. If not, pause the podcast, go watch the movie we're about to talk about, and come on back.
All right, sweet.
Excuse me.
Brian, over here. Hey.
Pardon me.
Why don't you have the popcorn? It's starting!
Woo!
Hey!
Shut up and listen to the podcast. Hey!
There's a lot out there to see. This is what we watched.
Oh shit, we're going. You going? Hold on.
Oh, I feel like a boomer sometimes with how untech savvy I am, and it makes me mad.
Matt did not go to film school.
No, I did not. I minored in film study, film school.
Yeah, you're good at writing and analyzing. And
you know what? I feel like I am good at writing, and if you send me some of your scripts, I'll be able to make them better.
We have sent you scripts, and you haven't done
no,
shit.
No, you haven't. You have not.
Yeah, Nala sent you her feature.
I have still not gotten that.
She said she sent it to you.
I have not gotten that.
All right. Well,
I'm passionate about this.
We know you're passionate about this. Are you passionate about Fallout?
I'm very passionate about Fallout.
Because that's what we're talking about here on What We Watch today.
What We Watch! Guys, I didn't even realize we started yet. I was getting
settled. This is the first time that you are the one that didn't realize
you
were
recording. Hi, I'm Brandon Elliott.
Yeah.
You're
Luke
listening
Antonio.
To What We Watched. We're here with Matt Plimpton and Luke Antonio.
Hi, guys.
It's just total role reversal here. Like, we all just kind of moved a place over.
Switch seats.
Switch. Change places.
There it is.
If you get that Futurama reference,
massive
kudos.
Such a great one.
That's the, what is that? The Mad Hatter bot, uh-huh. Which of course is in an asylum.
Of course is in an asylum.
Of course it is. But we're talking more about Fallout.
Fallout.
Episode 6. Probably one of my favorite episodes of the season. Yes.
Really?
The trap.
So it's your favorite episode of the season. Just before we get into it, by the way, this is a movie review podcast. It's for movie lovers, it's for TV lovers. It's for those who like just jumping right the fuck into things, because I got nothing for you guys. I'm sorry.
Diving head
We
first
might have had a couple
this.
Of drinks. It's fine. We might be a little loose, and I'm okay. We might be a little goosey today.
I'm okay with that. We're on top of it, though.
Yes, exactly.
I'm sharp.
You and I are both on the same page right now. Luke, get on our page, dude.
Get on our wavelength, please.
I don't know if you need to start. I don't know if you need to keep reading or stop reading, but get on our page.
I'll just put down this other book I was reading.
Yeah. Oh, you're on the.
I'm on the wrong book.
Oh, Jesus.
Different
Christ.
Book. Different
now,
library.
Different library. Okay. So now, Matt, this might be your favorite episode, The Trap.
Yes.
For those listening, this is. Fallout. I think we've said that already. Maybe, possibly.
Yeah, we did.
A couple times.
I'm totally kidding.
A little more sing-songy, though. So let's try that again.
Why don't you
we're watching
up?
Fallout. It sounded like Oprah there. You get a nuke. You get a nuke. Everyone gets nuked.
Now that's the most accurate depiction so far.
Oh, Jesus my Christ. God. Are you right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. Now, don't lie to me. Don't tell me that Oprah is not in Vault 31 or in one of the management
She's
vaults.
Not in Vault 31,
Sorry,
but she's definitely
those,
way up.
For those who haven't seen, this is a spoiler review podcast.
Yes, it is.
I'm sure you've already heard that in the intro. Matt, why is this your favorite episode? Before we get into everything.
So, okay, I love the fact that we really start to see Coop's disillusionment with Vault-Tec. We haven't seen that yet on the show.
Mm-hmm.
We've only
mm-hmm.
seen like him already disillusioned with it. And I was saying in the previous episode that that's a major theme in this show is disillusionment.
Yes. Yes.
It's having the veil lifted and seeing who's working behind the curtain, going with my Wizard of Oz theme again. But what I love about this episode is, again, we're getting so many ideas of what Vault-Tec is truly about rather than what they represent. Like,
yes.
They represent peace and tranquility, but when you lift the hood a bit, you're realizing that they're just there for the money. And there's a great...
Like any good old American corporation.
Exactly. There's a great bit where Coop and Matt Berry's character, the real Codsworth, who's just a voice actor at this point, is talking about this. And it's very akin to what we were talking about before we started recording, which was Network. And if you haven't seen Network, I highly recommend it. It's where that famous line comes from, "I'm as mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore." But there's an even more ominous line where they talk about how all amenities are met, all anxieties are rested. And they're basically talking about how there's eventually going to be just one omni-corporation that controls everything. And we're seeing that in real life. We're seeing that in Fallout. Mm-hmm. And I love how they're waxing philosophical about that. I love scenes like that. They just, I feel like I'm part of some collegiate lecture. I don't know. I feel like my mind is expanding, and every time I watch scenes like that.
Yeah.
And what's the best way to control everything?
Oh.
But to take out all the competition.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Monopoly. Exactly.
Now, I didn't get a chance to rewatch this episode before.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, this
so
is a good one.
So it starts with Matt Berry.
So, okay. This one, so this starts with a flashback. Then we're going all the way back pre-war.
We do a
this
lot is, of back and forth.
This is
a
lot
episode.
Of back and forth, but it starts with a commercial. It starts with Cooper Howard doing a Vault Tech commercial saying,
oh,
hey,
okay,
he's
right,
inside
right.
the vault, right? And he's literally like walking through it, kind of honestly, not unlike what we just saw in episode 5, where Vault 33 walks through Vault 32 and is
Very.
Exploring all around.
It's Troy McClure in The Simpsons doing like some informational video.
Sure.
But that's very much who Cooper Howard is, like a very cynical version of Troy McClure, but he's showing everyone what a vault is advertised
yes,
to be.
Yes, what it can do.
Emphasis on advertised.
All the good it can do, all of what it can bring, how it can protect
yep.
you, you know, hitting all of the talking points about what they want it to.
Yep. And then you hear, and cut, and suddenly, again, the veil is lifted.
Well, and there's just this kind of, like, shift. I mean, yes, Cooper's like, cool, I'm wrapped, I'm good, are you good? And then he walks off, and he's shaking hands, and he's kissing ass. And then he walks over to his wife, and he's like, all right, let's get the fuck out of here. I'm done. I need to turn this off. I can't be this person. I can't be this persona. This isn't what I believe. This is just a job for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't actually believe what I'm saying.
Which is some great commentary on celebrities.
Absolutely.
Real life celebrities.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Oh, 100%.
This is another thing that got me excited about this episode. Again, we're seeing a more human side of him, a more vulnerable side. And we're also seeing the seeds of what potentially led to his separation from his wife or his divorce. It was alluded to in the very first episode, but this time we're really starting to see the cracks show in his relationship because it's not explained thoroughly beforehand, but in this episode we really start to see his wife is like a higher up at Vault Tech.
Yeah, she's working
and she's
her way
she's kind of coaching him
up.
The way that Nancy Reagan coached Ronald Reagan.
I mean, she even has a similar haircut.
Yeah, thank you for noticing that. I did notice that too. I'm so glad. But there is a lot of that, like, behind-the-scenes control of, like, oh, just, you know, follow along. Don't worry.
Yes.
Don't worry.
Yes.
There's always this, like, reassurement of, don't worry, everything's fine. Everything's hunky-dory. But he can feel it. He can feel
something's
it.
Something's not right. Something's up. And I want to get into that real quick, but I love, before we, like, jump into it, I love the character development in this episode.
Thank you.
There's so much into it, and we'll touch on it near the end of the episode because I have more to say especially about I'm blanking on her name. Especially about
Lucy?
No, what's his wife's name?
Oh Coop's Barb. Wife. Barb Howard.
Barb. Especially about Barb. I have so much to say about that when we get to the end of the episode. So I just want to say I'm very excited about this one for sure. Did you guys call the number, the 21325 Vault?
No, did you?
I didn't, but I did read up on what
well, we're
going to
do
happened.
Something very special for you folks today.
Oh!
Give me the, what's the number?
213-25-V-A-U-L-T.
V-A-U-L-T.
Isn't it just fascinating how we can just, like, call that up? What? What and that's was it. That? What was that?
That was the sound of pure terror as the bombs are falling.
Oh, as the bombs have dropped. God. Right. Right.
Oh,
isn't that
my God.
Just diabolical?
Oh, absolutely. But
I saw somewhere online, and I don't think this is true because listening to that just now, it doesn't sound the same. But it's somebody said that it's the yeehaw scream that one of the pilots did as he's dropping the bomb at the end of Doctor Strangelove.
Oh, nice.
I can definitely see that too.
And I can hear it, but I don't think it is.
Which
I don't think it is. Because that sounds a lot more
favorite movie.
If Fallout didn't take pointers or notes from Doctor Strangelove, I don't know where they got some of their inspiration.
Sure.
Well, they absolutely did. But we'll get to that when we get to that.
Yeah. This episode I said it in the last episode, but this episode especially, the back half of this season is primo television, primo storytelling. And I love how they are exploring those ideas of like omni corporations, mm-hmm. monopolies, mm-hmm. and the essence of control.
Right. Right.
I mean, it's amongst two actors that are kind of washed up at this point.
Oh, they totally are. Or at least like they're being shoved out.
They're
being pushed out.
Because
what I also love
opinion.
About this episode is this episode does so much teasing and so mm-hmm. much foreshadowing. This is such a, if you haven't got it now, then you're just gonna have to wait till the end of the series because there is so much that they do. I mean, from the so Coop walks out of the commercial and he's shaking hands. Butt Askins, and throughout the entire episode,
oh, I hate
Coop,
Butt Askins. Well,
of course you do. But because he's made to be hated, he's
it's also just
he's
a,
the kiss ass.
It's also just a personal thing. I hate being called Bud or Buddy.
Oh, really?
Oh, it just drives me nuts.
Oh, Bud, I'm sorry.
Oh,
sorry, buddy.
Dick. I'm not your buddy, guy.
Not your guy, pal.
Not your old pal, Fred.
I'm not your friend, buddy. Anyway,
so the entire episode, Coop just kind of brushes off Bud Askins as if he's mm-hmm. insignificant the whole way, kind of telling us, hey, don't pay attention to this person.
But Bud keeps butting in.
He keeps kind of butting in.
Oh,
ha. But what he does, and this is the first layer, I mean, maybe not the first, but the first major foreshadowing mm-hmm. is, hey, I designed the T-45. I was in charge of the rollout of the first iteration of the power armor.
Mm-hmm.
And we have there's design flaws, but man, didn't they look cool? Because, Matt, like we talked about last week,
we were talking about this
episode off air, everything's made to look cool.
Yeah, I was talking about how the ideas in Tenet were very muted because mm-hmm. we were just trying to make things look cool.
Exactly, because it looks cool. And so, again, so that kind of comes back a little bit, just a little bit, maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm forcing it in. Maybe there's a little bit of commentary on Tenet right there. Hey, it looks
cool. Well, it's a comment.
But there's
commentary on just, aesthetic.
Yes.
Over functionality.
Yes, exactly.
I'd say more Snyder than Nolan.
But at the same time, I like that. But also think about when two episodes ago when Cooper first put on the suit and started doing the commercial,
yes.
the advertisement for Vault Tech. And he asked, hey, does this suit actually keep out radiation?
And they're all like,
Yeah, totally.
Right? Sure. It doesn't do what we say it's going to do, but it sure does look cool.
You got to love that commentary on like real world brands and what they preach versus what they are.
Well,
exactly.
it's akin to cigarette companies in the 1950s. 50 million people can't be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, they used to advertise that smoking was good for you.
That was healthy, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Mad Men did a great job of this in its very first episode, where they talk about the conflict of they can't say that it's healthy for you anymore, but we can say ours is toasted. They tweak it. They taste better because it's toasted.
Mm-hmm.
The competition's doing the exact same thing. But we're the first to come out and actually say it. Therefore, we're implying healthiness.
Yep.
We're implying this feel.
Plus, it makes you look cool.
It makes you look cool. Don't you want to look like Don Draper? Don't you want to look like Cooper Howard?
Don't you want to? Well, exactly. But that's the thing. And so again, so that major foreshadowing that Cooper's like, yeah. But here's the thing. It was a question of mine, you know, going from here on forward is, I think I might have mentioned it, was Cooper involved in the war? Like, was he involved?
Yes.
He absolutely was.
He fought
in Alaska. He fought against the communists. He absolutely was there. He fucking wore the power armor. So remember, mm-hmm. Luke, when we were talking about episode 2, 3, when the ghoul was in Philly, right? And the first,
yes,
the conflict
he
with...
he points out the flaws, sure, in the armor.
But he doesn't.
Yeah.
He doesn't. He doesn't. So, oh, wait, and we'll, no, get to it. We'll get to it at the very end. I don't. So that's what I said. I don't think that the ghoul remembered this conversation. I think that triggered his memory starting to come back and him starting to think about that time period a little bit more. And yeah, that's what's gonna trigger him, or that's what's gonna push him to be able to survive what happens later. And we'll get to that in the end of the at the end of the series. But I think this is, again, it's all meticulously thought out as far as when information is released. I don't, yes, think it's a plot hole. When I, no, what I said earlier, I don't think that episode was a plot hole. I think that that is just what happened. He's, it's been doing, setup, this for 200 years, and now meeting Lucy, hearing McLean, talking about the power armor, seeing a knight, fighting all, yep, of this is starting to go, you know, jolt him back. And then,
I mean, when you're 200 years old plus.
Exactly. But then you also, yeah, sit there and you plop him down and he watches his old tape. That's why I harped on her so much, oh, a couple episodes ago, yep, is he sits down and watches his own morals come back. And he's like, I used to be a different person. What made me this person? These conversations, starting here in episode 6, these conversations with Bud Askins, with his wife, with all of these people, that's when his morals started to really be tested.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's what I think, honestly, that's when this character, when Cooper Howard started to become the ghoul, because he actually started questioning who he was.
Well, again,
and how he can change.
It's disillusionment. It's, yes, like if a veteran came, yes, home when they were originally signing up for war to seek glory, and they come back and all their friends are dead.
Yes.
And,
yes,
they're coming back to a government that barely cares about them.
Yes.
It's a similar kind of disillusionment. This time he's like, no, I fought and I saw my friends die to fight communism. We won that damn war. Like, mm-hmm, and now you're trying to control me through X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. How dare you?
Exactly. Who gives you the right?
William Knife Man. I believe that is the same actor that plays William Knife Man in Reservation Dogs.
Maybe. I have not seen it, unfortunately.
I'm going to double check that.
But well, you're looking,
sure,
at that. So,
yeah, I think
so
it is.
So now Cooper's like, hey, let's get out of here. Let's move on. And his wife's like, yeah, we have a rap party for a fucking commercial, by the way. We have a rap party at our house. So the poster that Cooper walks, you know, down his staircase, the giant poster on his wall is called A Man and His Dog. That is a direct inspiration or a direct, I wouldn't say ripoff, homage, I think, to A Boy and His Dog, which is one of the first post-apocalyptic like stories depicted in these kind of post-apocalyptic stories.
Wow, that that brings the whole thing with dog meat full circle.
Oh, absolutely.
I was right, by the way. It is William Knife Man.
Yeah, fantastic. He was the warrior spirit.
Yeah. I love his character. Like, if you haven't seen Reservation Dogs, highly recommend.
He was one of my favorite characters on that show.
I mean, you've seen the meme over and over, probably on social media, TikTok primarily, where he's just like doing his like cry. It's so great. But anyway.
Probably. So at this party, right, there's a whole bunch of people, quite the shindig, really. But this is where we meet Matthew Berry's character, Cogsworth.
The real Cogsworth.
The real
actor. He's just a voice actor.
Sebastian Metz.
But that's right. They co-opted his voice.
Yes.
Which, yes, holy crap. We're seeing that in modern day with AI, with people like you were talking about it between episodes, how Gray Delisle at Fan Expo was talking about AI kind of taking away work, where she's like, I would have done this for free.
Yeah. Yeah. These voice actors they love what they do, and they're more than happy to do it.
Yeah.
If you just ask.
Because they're performers, first and foremost.
But at the same time, they also deserve compensation. They might not ask for it. Like you
Hold
said,
on.
She might have done it for free.
I'm kidding. No,
she
might have
done it for free, but at the same time, they deserve to be compensated for the
absolutely.
Work that they do.
And they get
just
wildly underpaid as is anyway.
Exactly.
They do. Why do you think the writers and actors were on strike
majority of 2023?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, right there.
That
but
was great.
The whole... this whole conversation with Sebastian, with Cooper and Sebastian, is exactly that. Hey, how much did you get paid for that, for the voice rights?
Yes.
$10 million? And he just goes, not even fucking close to that.
Yeah.
$186,000 plus a robot.
So, yeah. You know what? They really Which picked, is so sick and they picked a director and writer for this episode that were really perfect picks for this specific episode. The director has done like stuff like The Boys, and the writer has done stuff like Community and Arrested Development. You can see
it's quick, it's witty,
it's quick really and witty, tight. But it's commentary. Layered.
Yes, exactly.
Layered.
Yeah,
layered with commentary and inside the joke.
Yeah, but the thing is, you don't have to be in on the joke to get the joke, like, or you don't have to be in on it previously to finally get it now, which I frankly appreciate.
Yes.
Because yes. It's bringing attention for new people to finally be like, oh, like, this is commentary, so it must have something to do with what's going on in real life.
Right. Right. And like there's not just a coincidence. This is definitely right, has some meaning behind it. Maybe, you know,
good
there's
television
a
always
depth
does
to
that.
It. Exactly. And I mean, right here in this conversation with Sebastian and Cooper, right? The future is products. Yes. I'm a product. You're a product. The end of the world is a product. And what is that but fallout?
Which is why I think it's a perfect pick to get a director who worked on The Boys, because The Boys is very much about product.
Oh, it absolutely. Yes. All about product. And all about
a
dystopian
not
a
fan
future.
Of The Boys, like, I've tried. I've given it plenty of shots. And I'm willing to give it one more just for your sake, Luke and Brandon. I will say that is one of my favorite things about The Boys. It's cynical exploration of things like Disney and HBO Max. And I'm so hypocritical for saying that because I have subscriptions to those.
Well, and it goes deeper as you get into the series. You learn that they've invested in pharmaceuticals.
Well, yeah.
And other kinds of products that are out there, and it's just like Vault-Tec, and yeah, so exactly. You can really see the depth that both the writer and director that they chose for this specific episode.
This was the episode that made me put on a tinfoil hat.
Yeah.
There's so many conspiracies going on,
right? And of course, the ghoul knew the voice of the fucking robot. Right, which is where he wakes up. Right, the ghoul wakes up after going on his fucking all night bender with drugs and alcohol, and he wakes up and there's that voice.
I'm here to serve you.
Uh huh.
Yeah,
going off right next to his face. Which again, I'm just saying, he's remembering all of this because it's happening to him in real time. Like it's not because he's been thinking about this for 200 years. It might be, you know.
No,
what it was keeping him going, but he's not directly remembering all of this until right now.
That's definitely not relevant. What's keeping him going. Mm-hmm. We know what's keeping him going.
Yes.
By the end of the series. By the end of the season.
It's hinted at here in this episode here
very soon. Very, very much
Right? So some deputies come in and they find the ghoul. Exactly. Or sheriffs or people in with badges. People who have appointed themselves. So they say, I love the line, destroying a legitimate business is illegal in these parts. And he's like, says who? The government. That's
but
just
that harkens
hilarious.
Back to another conversation that he has with his wife, where they're getting ready to move into the vaults.
Mm-hmm.
And she's saying, oh, Roosevelt, our dog isn't allowed in.
Right. Oh, I can't wait
says
to get
who?
There. Can't wait to get there. Don't
okay. Yeah,
says
sorry.
Who? Says who? Remember that.
Yes, I will.
Sorry, just for format's sake, so we hit everything, I just want to make sure we get through this.
No, you're totally fine. No apologies needed.
The title card's really cool on this one as well. I'm going to keep saying it for two more episodes. The title card on this one's one of my favorites because I love, who doesn't love that ominous green glow from radiation? It's so cool. It's so cool. Okay, so we jump inside the vault with Lucy and with Maximus, and Maximus is getting a fucking tooth pulled out of his arm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Disgusting, but also resourceful. Mm-hmm. Same time.
Yeah. Teeth can get you ball caps.
Sure.
Teeth is currency.
Sure. Exactly.
Sure. It does lead to one of the more awkward scenes in the show for me. And you know where I'm going
scene.
With this.
It is an awkward scene.
What? Are you talking about how horny Lucy is?
Yeah, which
happy and horny.
Holy shit. I love this. Out of nowhere. She's like, anyway, want to fuck?
Yeah. You want to have sex?
Yeah. Sorry. She says that because she's not a swearer.
Yeah. She's not.
Holy shoot. She says that a lot in the show, and I love that. But yeah. Anyway, want to have sex? Huh?
Right? Can you imagine?
No comment.
Can you imagine saying no to that? Jeez. Goddamn Christ.
Stop.
Luke, you've got the whole couch to yourself.
No, we're not doing that.
Do you mind, Matthew?
This is my house. We're not doing that.
Just kidding. I have immense respect for Ella Purnell.
I'm sure you do.
And I'm sure your penis would explode like a pimple. Jesus Christ. The way that Titus Maximus describes that, just like, God, that is such a rudimentary, I think is the right word.
Rudimentary, but also, again, it's another, to me, this whole episode's commentary, I mean, this whole series, this episode specifically, it's a commentary on the American fucking healthcare system.
Mm-hmm.
Like, with no education, people just assume things, and assume, not just assume things incorrectly, but assume things are wrong with them.
Yeah.
Right? But I think, let's take a second. Let's take a pause on that.
Be adult here.
No. I mean, beyond being an adult, like, when you don't understand, when education is withheld, when information is withheld, when you don't know facts because it's been taught or it's been, you know, dissuaded, or you've been scolded for trying to find something out about what literally happens to every fucking human male, then you start to think bad things about yourself. He says, I don't know. This probably doesn't happen to every guy, but mine does this. And it's just really fucking depressing that there are people walking around today. I'm talking in 2024, when we're talking right now, who walk around with similar thoughts about themselves because they don't understand simple biology.
Yeah.
And that's really, really upsetting to me.
Well, it's also, so this says that Maximus, with his training at the Brotherhood, made him lose interest in sex. That also is a statement on the military.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
What is your
source on that, Luke?
I found this on Wikipedia.
Oh.
But under the plot details.
I mean, like, was there a link to a horrible source? Just to give credit where credit's due.
Yeah, I'm just reading along the plot.
That's a great jumping off point. Absolutely.
Source.
But I like that. That's a really interesting take on Maximus. You know what? It might make him a little more interesting to me.
There you go.
Let's face it. He's gotten a lot of blunt force trauma throughout his life.
Oh, for sure.
And being in a very militaristic society, sex isn't on his mind.
Yeah.
But he thinks there's something wrong with him because he gets aroused, because he's feeling attraction towards Lucy. And Lucy is so open to it.
Right. Right.
That's dark.
It's so dark and it's so twisted, but also, again, it just makes for a juicy scene. And I know it's a comedic beat and it's something that we juicy, brush juicy. Off and we
I we knew that was coming from how far? About a mile.
Why do I even try? But it's something that in the show is a comedic beat and it's nothing more. But that's what I love about certain episodes in this show is there are layers, and there's so much to discuss with just something as simple as a comedic beat. There's more to it. There's something to say, and there's something to talk about with that. And that, to me, is good writing. And that, to me, is good storytelling. And that's what makes this show elevated, again, and I've said this before, above a lot of other shows. It just really, it has something for more than just one type of audience.
And it brings me to the next beat in our story where we see Chris Parnell's character.
Yes.
The overseer with one eye. Not just like he lost an eye. No.
No.
He is a cyclops.
He's a cyclops.
Like Leela in Futurama cyclops. But
with a smaller eye, but yes.
Smaller eye, yes. But
talk about a great casting.
Great. Oh my gosh. Casting. If there's anyone that can do like happy-go-lucky with a hint of cynicism, Chris Parnell.
Perfect.
Like, if you watch Archer, he's great with that as Cyril Figgis.
Anchorman.
Anchorman.
His character in Anchorman.
A little bit, incredible. Yeah. But definitely Jerry in Rick and Morty.
You gotta love a good Jerry.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Dr. Spaceman in 30 Rock.
Yes. Absolutely. Great.
Leo Spaceman.
Oh, great.
That was one, by the
cut.
Way, I just have to... one of my favorite comedic reveals of all time. I want to see Dr. Spaceman. It's Leo Spaceman.
Okay. So to talk about some of the layers with that whole thing, mm-hmm. you find that, you know, this whole vault is full of mutants.
Yes.
But it's also kind
right, because it pulls out. It pulls out with Lucy and Maximus. It says, right, you were thinking, hey, we're in a vault. We're in quarantine. We're just doing this for your protection.
But
we're making sure you're safe to enter our vault. And it pulls out test subjects.
Test subjects.
So already we're like, oh, what the fuck?
But then you see Chris Parnell with one eye. You see a cook with two noses.
Yeah.
You see
the lady with glowing blue eyes.
Yeah. It talks about something that they started to touch on in earlier episodes, but it's something called meritocracy. Do you know what this is?
Yes, but please explain to those who don't.
Meritocracy is a form of government where the most qualified are elected. So not politicians, scientists, engineers, mathematicians. Those are the ones that you trust because they have PhDs and master's degrees. Interesting concept. But there's a dark underbelly to that as well, which is what Vault-Tec is all about.
Nothing but that, dark underbelly.
Oh, my God. And that's what I love about that, because in this episode, they also reveal that this is a generational thing where, you know, they were normal looking beforehand, but because of the experiments that were put on this particular vault, I think it was Vault 4?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, Vault 4 was what Cooper was talking about in his advertisement.
It's supposed to go
to Vault 4.
Which right. is terrifying.
Well, I don't know about supposed to go to.
Oh,
but,
maybe not, but he
just
was advertising.
In his advertisement, yeah. right? Again.
Which was run by scientists.
Uh-huh.
So they were being experimented on, like, fucking, excuse me, lab rats. But eventually they kicked out the real scientists, took over, and the mutations just kind of stayed.
Well, and think back to what, you know, what he asked about. The suit.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Is this going to keep it? Does it protect you from radiation?
Protect is a relative term with Vault-Tec.
But exposing yourself to radiation can cause mutation.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, but maybe this particular vault had flawed jumpsuits.
I don't think it had flawed jumpsuits. I think they did it intentionally. They experimented on their test subjects.
Yeah.
Or they knew that the end of the world wasn't the end of the world. They knew that people would be mutated. They knew people would be, you know, different and change, and so they would take them in and they would study them and they would find out what's wrong. What they would find out their physiology, and they would try. I mean, who knows? Honestly, I'm sure that there's an answer out there. And if you guys know, those of you who are listening, if you know what actually happened in Vault 4, please comment. Please let us know what went on. You know, in this vault
what
throughout
was
the years.
Specific experiment,
but. That's what it was, is it wasn't by accident. It wasn't by, you know, some flaw in their system or some flaw in their jumpsuit. It was by design. That was what this vault was we're going to test what radiation does to different people. How much can you handle? What happens when you procreate with a mutant? What, you know, all of this fucked up shit, which is, again.
Oh, absolutely. It's fucked up.
Fascinating, I have to say. Absolutely astounding, the kind of research that you can do, but also absolutely wrong. Look at what happened with the Nazis. Like, they found out so many things for science, but at what cost?
Yeah.
At what cost?
Oh my God, bringing this back to the Prestige again.
Nothing but.
Tesla,
yeah.
in that movie, says, I understand that you have money, but have you considered the cost? He says that specifically, cost.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Cost of what? Cost of money? Cost of morals?
Not the cost of money, no.
Cost of morals.
Yep.
Yes.
Cost of conscience.
Yes.
That is Vault-Tec in a nutshell. Ooh. They are not considerate about what they're losing morally. They're more considerate about what they're losing financially.
Well, and we see even bigger consequence of that cost here later on in the episode.
Yeah, because they all think this is kind of a cult. Well, Lucy and Titus think this is kind of a cult.
I mean, Lucy doesn't, but Maximus sniffs it out immediately. He's
like,
everyone's smiling. This is a cult. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Oh, it's so creepy once he mentions it. You're like, oh no. This is like Wake, or what is it called? What was that? David Koresh. cult. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, the Jonestown. Yes, I don't remember what it's called though, or what they call them.
You know what I'm talking about?
I know
it's very much like that. All smiles, but you know, what's underneath this?
Something's fucking eerie about this.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so then we get back up to the surface. Or I'm sorry,
we're in the vault.
I think we're in the vault. I'm trying to remember where this quote came from. That's right. We're in one of the good vaults, right? Implying that there aren't good vaults, and the higher your rank, the better future you're going to have.
Supposedly.
Right?
But Lucy keeps saying, oh, I'm from one of the good vaults. This vault is already so disillusioned with that idea.
Yes.
They stayed down there because it truly is safe for them.
Well, they, and they're test subjects because they don't have any mutations.
Mm-hmm.
So to them, they're the mutant.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Again, it's all about perspective.
This whole show has been
about perspective.
Chris Parnell truly lacks because having only one eye, his depth perception and reading ability is off because he keeps calling.
Boo.
I'm getting to a point though because he keeps calling Lucy Goosey.
Goosey.
Yeah, because he can't read it properly. It says Goosey right here.
Yep. But again, and you're so ardent in that belief, you're like, no, I'm right. This is the information I have, and you can't sway me at all, no matter what you say. No matter if what you say is true, this is what I believe, and this is the fact that I'm going to believe, which goes back to what I said last episode, which also ties into what's happening currently in our society and across the world, is you can't change my mind no matter what you say, because I believe it to be true.
And bash it over me. Mm-hmm. Like crazy, and I'm still going to believe X, Y, Z.
Exactly. So,
what do they call that?
The
boys,
there's been a huge amount of of fans who are just finally realizing after season 4 what The Boys is actually saying.
Yeah,
I don't understand
and
how
their
it took
disillusionment
4 seasons
with their own perception of what reality is and should be.
Going to hit you with another $5 phrase here, cognitive dissonance.
Cognitive dissonance, yes, exactly.
Let me hit you with another $5 phrase here, fiduciary responsibility.
Oh,
yeah, baby.
Oh, it's so dark.
That's
I love it.
But honestly, right? American corporations. Corporations across the world, but especially American corporations, they have a fiduciary responsibility to make sure that their fucking shareholders make a profit.
Yep.
That is what the whole market is based on.
Yep.
About
look at Boeing.
Can you make money off of this?
Yeah. And do you know what's so funny here? Is Fallout and The Boys are both on what?
Amazon.
Again.
Shout out to Amazon Prime. Thank you for being a sponsor of what we watch. We appreciate your financial contribution.
Thanks, Jeff. CEO on Trumpenor. Born in 1964, Jeffrey Bezos. had to bring in that Bo Burnham.
You had to.
Credit to Bo Burnham.
Thank you.
Love you, Bo.
But I mean, honestly, though, what an amazing time to point out. Like, again, just the ironic scene of what a fiduciary responsibility is. And I love that that we have the character who comes in and is able to just lay it out. Plain and simple, comes in and just says what is, and Cooper's like, I don't know what you're talking about. You're stupid, but at the same time, maybe you're onto something, and maybe I should listen to you because he's so against.
You're talking about the scene in the bar.
Yes. So after we are done with the vault, right after we have the meeting with the Cyclops, which is also again, if you love that scene, love Chris Parnell, all of his beats are fantastic. So we jump out in the bar, and Cooper's meeting an old friend who wasn't quote unquote able to attend the party, and as we've learned. Being a spokesperson for Vault-Tec has kind of alienated Cooper away from the acting community, away from Hollywood, away from all of his friends and people he's known and people he fought in a war with.
Yeah,
like, people don't want to be seen with him. People don't want to be known with him because Vault-Tec is not a good corporation.
No, they're dark. Like, they're okay with him having an interracial marriage, but having a Native American as his best friend, we can't have that.
Mm-hmm. It's so interesting what bits from the 50s are kept and what bits from like the today are kept.
Oh,
it's
very
interesting kind of complex, I don't know, swirl.
Multiverse.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's another world, but it's another time, but it's
definitely another timeline, but I'm just saying, like, aesthetically, like, mm-hmm. what from the 1950s, like, what mentalities, what ideals are kind of taken, and well, what's like, you know what,
I think
we're
it's
okay
very reminiscent
this.
Of modern day, because let's face it, our society is okay with interracial marriage, but there's still some stigma, this unfortunate, hateful stigma about Native Americans. Mm. That pisses me off. And again, plugging Reservation yes, Dogs, highly recommend you watch it. Mm. Gives you a very real look at what life on a reservation looks like.
Love that.
It's so good.
Produced by Taika Waititi, by the way, who is also a strong proponent of all indigenous peoples.
Yes.
Not just here in America, but in New Zealand and across the globe. I mean, yeah. if you know, he's one of those where those who have been here should have the right to say what they feel,
should have a voice, period. Yeah.
Yep.
But it's interesting in that bar where he's talking about, like, how or his friend is saying that he doesn't have a whole lot of say, and then
right.
Cooper comes in with, yeah, but you're doing pretty well in that mansion down in Pasadena. I can't remember what exact place he's saying.
Somewhere, yeah.
But
somewhere
I think
fancy.
You're doing just fine. And really, it's like, I am. But what about everyone else? And it starts planting the seed of communism, the horrible communism, and it pisses Cooper off.
The big scare.
The big red scare. And it's saying, he's like, no, I didn't fight and watch my friends die just to be pulled in by communists.
Right,
you're
exactly.
not going to get me.
Exactly. You're not going to get me. Mm-hmm. I know where I stand. I know where my morals are. I have got a straight true north compass, and everyone else is fucking insane and part of a cult and doesn't know what they're talking about and shouldn't be listened to and should be killed.
Yeah.
Yet he takes the card and he considers it. It's the first time that he considers, hey, maybe I should just
the thing that really
listen.
The thing that really pushes him over the edge is that other conversation with his wife.
Well, yes, we'll get there. We're getting to that beat now. Because, you know, because what, but what if, right? What if there is some truth to what his friend is saying?
Yeah.
What if, you know, there is some truth to what...
Just hear him out.
To why he's being alienated, you know?
Yeah.
What is actually going on, you know?
Yeah.
And credit to Cooper, credit to that man to not just be bottle it up and saying, no, I know where I stand.
Yeah.
I know who I am. And I'm never going to change.
Yeah.
Takes the opportunity and goes, you know what? Let's find out.
Yeah.
So now Barb, his wife, who we saw take a leap forward, right, is now wearing a Pip-Boy at home.
Yes.
She's not just in the hot tub, right? She's not just, taking it as a toy. She's not just taking it from work. She's now actively wearing it outside of Vault Tech and outside of a vault.
This is very similar to things that Lockheed Martin and NASA would do.
Mm-hmm.
You had the Lockheed Martin logo or the NASA logo on your coffee mug or a pin or something along those lines.
Because that's your identity.
Well, that's
what you do is
that's
who
your
you
brand.
Are. That's your brand.
That is your brand. Yes. That is a lot of what we did during the space race specifically. It's like, oh my God, you work for NASA? Well, you must be one of the best of the best.
There's that movie coming out soon.
Fly Me to the Moon.
Fly Me to
I'm
the Moon.
I'm actually really interested in that.
That's kind of a disillusionment.
It is kind of a look at like how the Apollo 11 mission happened. Don't get me wrong. It's still an amazing thing that we landed on the moon less than 60 years after the Wright brothers first took flight. But at the same time, there was a lot of tactics that we used to scare the Russians into being like, no, we are the best. We're America, goddammit.
Right.
And it's the same thing here with Vault-Tec. I'm wearing a Pip-Boy because I am an American, goddammit.
Right.
And it's the company saying, like, further the brand at home.
Yes. Yes. Start integrating it into every aspect of your life.
It starts at home.
Exactly. Exactly.
There's a lot of layers to that as well, but I love the conversation that he has with her when she's saying we can't bring the dog because...
Right. And she just drops it so casually.
Yeah.
So like...
Oh, it's such a shame that we won't be able to bring Roosevelt.
Right.
What are you talking about?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then that just like... That's,
you didn't talk about this with me?
That's the first domino, right? That just like... And he kind of goes off, but he has a great point. where, you know, I didn't fight in a war to be fucking told what kind of colors to wear.
Yeah.
I didn't fight in a war to say, no, I can't bring my dog wherever I want to. Like, yeah. Who fucking made these rules? It's not about that. It's about my ideals. I did this for the right reasons, yeah. Or so I thought.
Well it also yeah. shows, like, there was a time when it also shows a couple things, actually. It shows there was a time when Coop had more humanity in him.
Yes.
With his love for his daughter and his dog and his family and yeah. all this. And then it also shows why he is kind of attached to dog meat, even though he may pretend he's not.
Oh, of course he is.
He has this connection to dog meat.
Because of good old Roosevelt.
Exactly. And we'll jump there. I'm going to jump there for one line. You ain't him.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yep. Yep.
You ain't him. That's when he saved him from the Nuka-Cola.
Yeah.
Yeah. Container, which yep. I was like, that's abuse right there. Thaddeus needs to go.
All right, we'll get there. We'll get there. See, we'll get there next episode.
That's what I'm saying, is it showed there was a time when he had humanity.
Exactly.
Well, it's still there. It's just very buried.
It's buried.
It is under a thick layer of irradiated skin that has just been beaten, burned, shot, stabbed, what have you. Basically given everything that the Wasteland can dish out.
Yes.
So he's had no choice but to bury that. But it's still there. And it's still there. That's why this episode is one of my favorites, because it's peeling back the layers of Coop / the ghoul. And it's peeling back the layers of Vault-Tec. It's peeling back. I love that the show is peeling back layers.
The reveal of what is actually underneath all of the surface, right? But I also love this scene, right? This conversation, yes, because we get a little bit of from Coop about like what he stands for and why he's upset. It's valid, very valid concerns, very valid arguments. But then what this show does is it turns Barb from a side character, from a background character, from someone who's just the wife at home, into an actual human being with wants and needs and desires and fears.
Agency.
And she actually has a point of view. And I love this scene for that, because she goes off and she's like, no, I'm going to do whatever it takes to make sure the people who I love are safe. And that means whatever it fucking takes.
But that's also valid.
Yes.
She has such a different point of view from Coop. It is not necessarily desperation to keep safe what she wants. It's just like, no, this is what I personally believe to be the best option. That is her point of view.
Yep. Which, but again, is entrenched. She's entrenched layers. In her beliefs. She's entrenched in her experience. And she drank the
Kool-Aid.
Well, she drank the Kool-Aid because she saw no other way out. Mm-hmm. And again, Cooper's not going to change her mind because that's what she believes.
Yes.
Barb's not going to change Cooper's mind because that's what he believes. Yeah. And again, it just sticks with every single person. You can't convince anybody of anything anymore.
No.
Where they're used to, I feel like there used to be a time when you could have a conversation and you could sway people and you could make, you know, you could have people understand from a different perspective, from a different point of view, where you're coming from. And maybe if you were in this situation, if you were, you know, the one making these decisions, maybe you would also understand why I'm choosing the things I'm choosing. And now I feel like it's a lot less of that.
I mean,
and it's just yelling at each other.
I mean, if you take the political parties today, compare them to political parties from 60s, 50s, 40s, similar era, you're going to see a lot more. There is still a lot of politics being played, but there's also a lot of common ground found.
Yes.
We were a much more united country back then, like it or not.
Well, both sides have become a lot more radicalized.
Radicalized and obsessed with winning.
Yes.
I have to put one over. I have to own the libs, or I have to beat the Republicans. It's no longer, no, we need to find some common ground or else none of us are going to prosper. That's the major problem.
Yeah.
And
there is no unity in this wasteland.
Oh, my God. We're living the wasteland now.
What?
But there's no unity in the vaults either. We see that with the vault life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, specifically with Vault 4, at least in this episode.
Yes.
In the previous episodes, we saw it with Norm, but in this episode, or in previous episodes, we saw it with Norm. In this episode, we see it with how the test subjects rose up and took over the vault. They killed the scientists.
Yeah.
They kind of kept things going, but more for everyone's benefit. Unfortunately, there is a cult.
Oh, it absolutely is. But that's from the surface. That's a surface cult that came in and, you know, did their own thing.
Oh, that's right. But because I do love... he even, Chris Parnell, again, he's like, I can't call people surfies anymore.
Yes!
Like,
he is so fucked
we're
up.
We're bringing in people from the surface, and I just think it's making things worse down here. It's mm-hmm. like, what are you saying here, Chris?
Right? What the hell is how? Like, what? Again, commentary on that and commentary on you know, making jokes at other people's expense and how far it, can you go and what can you laugh at? And and that whole kind of PC culture as well. But I also, I love back in the vault, I love when he and Goosey are talking.
Goosey.
And thank you. And he puts on a pair of glasses for two eyes and he's just got the one.
Yeah.
That's so great.
That's such a fantastic.
You bring up an interesting point though about PC talk. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's such a throwaway line in this series because they don't go into it too deep, but they decided to throw it in anyway. And it brings me to something that Richard Pryor once said.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Pryor was known to be a very offensive comedian, like, or he just said things that were very offensive to a lot of people.
Sure.
He said, "You're doing comedy wrong if someone isn't offended."
Interesting.
And the way that he meant that was, you can use a pun and that'll offend an English purist. You can make commentary and that's going to offend a certain political affiliation.
Right.
Doesn't matter.
Right.
What matters is, are you doing it out of malice or are you doing it out of genuine humor and just pointing out, like, this is an obvious flaw?
I guess it's rooted in honesty, right?
It is. Or it's rooted in
it's in
intent.
Intent. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Or is your intent to hurt their feelings or is your intent to just kind of rib them?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And just say, like, hey, we're all human. That's the real thing.
Yes, because I think it is, you know, is your intent to make somebody else feel worse about themselves? Or is your intent to make someone feel as if they are included because you're also you're making fun of everybody.
Yeah.
Right? So if you're making fun of everybody but you're not making fun of this group, then that means that they're different.
Yeah.
Then that means that they are less than what you're willing to make fun of.
Those damn surfies.
fucking surfies.
which is just a weird thing to make like as a slur, I guess, in this world.
Yes.
But It still lends to the commentary of taking in immigrants and offering asylum to those that truly need it.
Right.
Because I'm sure some of these people that have extra appendages or glowing eyes aren't from the vault itself, but from the surface, and it's just an effect of the radiation.
Right.
And being the overseer, Chris Parnell has to play it safe and, you know, get the most votes.
Sure.
So again, more political commentary there. If you say the wrong thing, you're almost done politically, which is what makes a certain orange man very much an anomaly because it should have been over when he made fun of a disabled journalist. Should have been. But here we are.
There's a lot of disillusionment.
There it is.
Oh, bringing it full circle, Luke. I love it.
I do think it's crazy how quickly the Vaulties found the power armor.
Mm-hmm.
Really, no one's gonna say anything about that. All right, anyway.
You're Vaulties.
Thank you.
Okay, I see what you're saying. But
no, but how quickly they were able to find the power armor? Like, he hid that really well, right? Wink, wink.
Did he though?
What else are they out there finding? What else are they out there scavenging? Like,
well, we find out more in the final episode for sure. But they start hinting at what do they call it? Cold fusion, which infinite energy. Okay. Great MacGuffin. I lost my train of thought. I'll get it back.
All right, no worries. I do think that so we're inside the vault, right? We're exploring the vault 4 and everything about it. And Maximus is like, you know what? Where did he get your power from? Because he's like, he has a thought. He needs a fusion core. He needs to power his armor. He needs to power his power armor that is stationary until he can find a reliable source of energy. He's like, you know what? What is this? I got to say that those, whatever those are, those reactors or the
fusion cores,
energy. Well, the actual like like Tesla coils almost, or whatever the hell they are, whatever they're supposed to be called. Those are really cool. Those are really fucking cool. The sound design is immaculate in that little scene right there for sure.
Absolutely.
But fuck me, did Cher scare the shit out of me. Oh my God.
The woman that looks like Cher, you mean?
I don't know, man. She might be.
She does very much look like Cher.
If there was a walking mutant on planet Earth, it might be Cher.
Brandon's opinions are his own.
Tone that line between PC and not. I don't give a fuck.
No, but you're right. She definitely has an eerie resemblance to Cher now that you bring it up. But
yeah,
it's when we get to the...
You know what's funny?
What?
The actor's name is Cherian Davis. Cherien.
No.
I swear to fucking God. Yeah. He plays Birdie.
That's fantastic. Well played.
Thank you. But yeah, no, she definitely scared the crap out of me. Like, she's slinking around behind Max. She kind of goes wherever she wants.
She's kind of
playing
Chris
a Morticia
shoulder.
Adams almost a little bit.
That's what I was thinking. Well, I was thinking more Morticia than Cher.
Well, but regardless, she's kind of giving the real answer that Chris Parnell can't because of his own duties as overseer. So she's like the real overseer.
Yes.
Pulling the strings again, Nancy and Ronald Reagan.
Yes, wink, she's wink. The power behind the mask, exactly. But also, again, she drops a great line. Truth doesn't come easily to those of us with a guilty conscience, right?
Yep.
And then instead of like reprimanding him, she goes, "Join us, go and see what Vault Life is about,
yep. Right?
And see for yourself if you want to join us or not."
And boy, does Maximus enjoy it.
You want to talk about drinking the fucking Kool-Aid?
No kidding.
Oh, my God.
Or blood in this case.
Ha-ha,
going gross. To that scene.
Gross.
Also, by the way, it was called the People's Temple Agricultural Project. Was the Jonestown.
Oh, the David Koresh thing?
Yeah, the Jonestown
massacre.
Cult.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I wasn't around for that. I'm way too young for that. But I've learned a lot about it, and it's still terrifying. Which is where we get the phrase drinking the Kool-Aid, because they put a lot of cyanide and other poisons in the Kool-Aid. Too.
Yep.
He is loving that popcorn, and I don't blame him. That looked...
that popcorn did look delicious, and the way he was eating it like voraciously just cracked me up. But he's like in the lounge robe, he's watching TV,
right.
And just like enjoying things that we enjoy on a daily basis, but it's such a luxury
to him.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's a luxury to us.
Yeah. And we take it for granted. That's what it is.
I highly recommend this book called At Home by Bill Bryson, where he goes through his whole house, talking about the history of each room and other and particular objects in the room. Like, how did we as a society get there? Just as an example, he talks about the spice rack. He spends an entire chapter on the spice rack. You would think that would be boring as hell. No, he talks about the Tamil kings and how we fought wars for salt and pepper. And that was such
a
common thing.
Yeah.
So to bring it back into the show, we see Maximus enjoying popcorn, which we see as common, but he sees as a luxury.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, same thing. I mean, he comes out and he tries caviar.
Yeah,
and he's like almost like insulted. He's like, what is this?
Yeah.
And it's like, again, it's this delicacy that, you know, it's for high-end society.
Well,
it's so common
for them, uncommon for him.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why he feels insulted, because it's like, where has this been all my life?
Right, right.
Oh, I've been up in the wasteland dealing with the absolute worst that humanity can...
We've been killing each other, and you guys have been eating fucking caviar down here.
Yeah, like, I was happy for him to get a little break.
Oh,
yes.
I will say that too.
Life.
I will say that too. So,
The Simple Life, which is another great song placement.
Yes.
But then also, while we're down here and while we're in the vault, like Lucy goes to the school, right? She goes to the classroom. And again,
there you go.
I love that she learns
the classroom, the lockers.
There it is. Thank you.
The end of the end credits of the last.
Yes. Thank you. I knew there was something.
I was like, isn't there a school? But I couldn't quite remember.
You're right.
Way to
go,
guys. Just stumbling into
in
that.
A way, but then again this vault's inside of a hospital.
I'm legit congratulating you, like, that's
thank you.
Good
but yeah, so Lucy goes into the classroom and she learns more about the history that she had no idea about, and again, kind of, but this time it confirms, what she was talking about with Maximus. The billboard, what Maximus was saying, the crater, right? Surviving a nuclear blast, right, you know, 10 years ago.
Hell, what the shopkeeper was saying in episode 2 or 3.
Yes.
You're trying to save America? When?
When? When are you planning on saving America?
Yeah.
Right? And so she's been lied to her whole life. Yeah. And she's like, this is amazing. And but then, her face just kind of drops. And she's like, what the fuck has been happening?
Yeah.
And who
then she
am
goes
I?
Into the restricted section of the vault, section 12.
Yes.
And
level
of course
12, which should be 12. Better guarded, but
it should be, but you know, we're going to let that part go because the story must go on.
But it's important to know it's important because yes, it's good for Lucy to learn about the history of the U.S. and after, you know, post-war and while she's been in the vault, you know, all of the things she's been lied to. It's important for that. But that's exactly what it does is it goes, okay, so if I've been lied to about this, what else don't you want me to know? What is on level 12? Fuck it. I'm going to go and find out, which again goes back to the last episode. She is a changed person.
Yeah.
We give her exactly what she wants, but she doesn't want that anymore. She doesn't want peace and tranquility and to stick her head in the sand. She wants to know what the fuck is actually happening.
Yep.
And that is so fulfilling.
She wants
and
the
so,
truth.
It's very much part
handle,
of that monomyth.
Can she handle the truth? I don't know. Can she? So up at the surface, Cooper and the government, I love the way it's spelled, the government, so the Gooper, Jesus Christ, Cooper the ghoul, goddamn
I like
Goober.
Gooper.
It's because you were saying Goosey.
Yes.
Oh. I like Gooper. Let's start calling him
Goosey
that.
And Gooper and Gaximus.
I'm a Goosey Goober. I'm a Goosey Cooper.
Goober, yeah.
So I love this scene. You know, just again, it shows what a badass the ghoul is and how, again, even when there's loaded weapons pointed directly at his face, he's still got this calm, cool demeanor.
Because he's been here before.
Yeah. I've still got the upper hand.
He's immortal.
I guess, right? I guess.
To an extent. I mean, he's still rotting away.
Yeah.
True.
But
we also finally get our first talk about Moldaver in episodes.
Yeah.
You know, in hours.
Which, okay, even though this is one of my favorite episodes, it does bring up a glaring issue with the show as a whole.
What's that?
Moldaver is supposed to be our main villain. Where the hell is she?
The big bad. She's off doing big bad stuff.
We haven't reached that level yet.
Are we, though? Like, is she, though?
Yeah, we haven't powered enough. We haven't powered up enough yet.
Yeah, we haven't reached the big boss level.
Because remember, and because you haven't played a lot of Fallout, this is what happens.
True.
You have a main quest, and you get sidetracked by stupid bullshit every goddamn time.
It is like Red Dead as well.
Well, exactly. Yeah. But you will. You'll get sidetracked. With all of this extraneous stuff that is, you know, supposedly a deterrent and a distraction, but really, that's what the whole game is.
Laying the groundwork.
It is. But
it still doesn't take away from my original thought. Like, Moldaver's been gone for multiple episodes, and only now we're bringing her up as we get closer to the climax? Really? Again, I guess maybe what the show is trying to say is that she's not our big bad. Vault-Tec is.
Yes. Yes,
which
she is the MacGuffin.
I will absolutely buy that. Like, she is a MacGuffin to get the story going and to keep it going, but the ultimate baddie is Vault-Tec as a whole.
Is everything we've been led
that
to believe.
I would buy. I just wish they had done a little better of...
I agree. But Moldaver should have been fleshed out more. But I do love this scene, you know, again, just with the dialogue and with the intention. Plus, we get some more foreshadowing again with Moldaver and with, you know, hey, this isn't how I remember her. And luckily, we get a little bit of payoff in this episode about that foreshadowing. But then we're back in the vault and Lucy's like, OK, what's going on? Because there's a whole bunch of people who are leaving to go join some kind of radical surface thing. And I just have a question, like, how everyone's taking off their Pip-Boy and just putting it in a big pile. How the hell would you know which one's yours?
And I don't think
facial
it matters.
Recognition.
Okay, cool. Thank you. I appreciate that.
I don't think
that.
It matters at that point.
Thumbprint.
But it just gets...
It does matter. It does matter because somebody in that vault has a tracker.
Oh, that's right.
To something very important.
That's true.
So,
well, she
saying,
doesn't fully participate in this.
No, but she put it down with everybody else's. How is she going to find hers quickly?
Fair.
I guess while everyone else is fucking, I guess she can take time to go through it.
They don't do
serial
that.
Number?
Maybe.
Write your name in Sharpie.
That's what it is. That's what it is. Well done. You figured it out. You solved the mystery.
Appreciate that.
Those glasses aren't just for show.
But then the intercutting. Again, now this is... Christ almighty.
Is that a fork eye joke? Like, because I...
Took you that long to figure it out?
Oh, he's
all
not
those
smart,
eyes, and you couldn't see.
Ha!
Again, Matt Boom! Is jealous that we wear glasses, and he doesn't.
He's not as smart as he looks to be.
Let us think as you smart I am.
So, from a filmmaking standpoint, I also love the cult scene, but also because we get back up to the surface and we intercut with Cooper arriving at the is it the chapel or is it
the observatory?
Yeah, it's the
observatory.
Yeah, it's the California Observatory.
That's right. I thought it was some kind of, because it looked like there were people who were dead in there.
Oh, like graves?
Yeah.
Oh, like one of those mausoleums.
Yeah, it looked like a mausoleum. That's what it looked like.
They did give a. They might have shot in a mausoleum.
But whatever it was, he arrives there at that location where the communist meeting is being held, right? Where his friend said, hey, just come and find out. Just listen for a little bit. And so I love the intercutting of him arriving there and Lucy arriving at this cult meeting. Right. And she does discover that it is a cult. But the way that like the information is dealt out is just fantastic storytelling.
But their dogma is so interesting because they're not necessarily like, oh, we need to sacrifice everything to appease a god. It's more like it's more vengeance.
Yeah,
really.
It is vengeance, but it also, again, hints at, well, we finally get to see Moldaver. His flame mother is Moldaver.
Yep.
And at the same time that Lucy finds out, oh, shit, like I'm closer than I thought I was.
Yeah.
Then we find out that Moldaver is also from the past.
That was
Cooper knew
a
her
phenomenal
as well.
Twist.
Amazing reveal.
Yeah.
Who the fuck isn't from the past at this point?
Well, Lucy.
Fair.
To an extent.
Maximus.
I won't go any further into that, but it does disprove a theory that I was talking about episodes ago where I thought Moldaver was his daughter.
Yes.
I was right in the sense that she's from that time period, but she's actually the person that kind of, like, his friend planted the seed in the first place.
Yeah.
His wife and Moldaver nurture that seed to grow the idea of his disillusionment in Vol-Tech.
Yep, absolutely.
And she's not wrong. I love characters that aren't necessarily wrong, but they're definitely misguided in their motivations.
Thanos.
Thanos is a great example. Moldaver is another great example. She's going about it in such a radical way because she sees no other way. It's like his wife. She's just on the... it's two sides of the same coin, which is why I think they picked... black actresses to play Moldaver and his wife.
Oh, I didn't think about that, but you're probably you're onto something there.
I don't know. Maybe I am, maybe I'm not. But I think it's an interesting thing to explore, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Two sides of the same coin.
Yeah. She's... Moldaver is English and Indian.
Oh. Okay, so a person of color.
Two sides of the same coin.
Again, yeah, two sides of the same coin. It still doesn't change the fact that one side of that coin has gone to one extreme for the safety of her family specifically. Mm-hmm. And the other one is like, no, the safety of all.
Of everybody.
And it again, calls over to that theme of it's me versus everyone else.
Yep.
What we were talking about in the last episode of the truest, the purest form of humanity is going to be the most selfish. Which, you know, very interesting. They're both noble, I think. Like, it is noble to look after your family.
Well, sure. No villain in their own mind is a villain.
I'm glad you mentioned that. I'm really glad you mentioned that, because that's exactly my point.
Right. Again, it comes down to perspective. Yeah. Like we've said, it comes down to where how you were raised, where you were raised, and what environment you were raised in. And that kind of
that might have even
what
been
what you believe.
That might have even been in the Ella, I think Ella Purnell said it herself, because she was talking about Jinx in Arcane, who's a villain, and she was talking about how Jinx doesn't think she's a villain in her own mind.
Mm-hmm.
Those always are the best villains, in my opinion. MCU did that very well for a lot of their movies. Not everyone.
Thanos.
Again, Thanos.
But, amongst other
Gore the God Butcher to an extent when they actually gave him screen time.
Ugh. Such a missed opportunity. Could have been such a great, dark, fucking...
Oscar-nominated actor, and the producers cut the film to where he's only got, what, 10 minutes of actual screen time? One god actually killed? Two?
I heard there was an R-rated version of that. Of
More
like
specifically,
what
the execs wanted Taika.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, the higher-ups cut that movie so bad.
But anyways, you can hear our discussion about that early in our episodes. If you want to listen to Thor, Love, and Thunder, our review, I'll have to try and find the episode number. But I love... All right, so going back to Fallout, going back. So Lucy has found out that this is a cult, that this is something going on. Mm-hmm. Muldaver, you know, is the head of something. She has to get out of here now because clearly Muldaver's the bad guy, right? So she runs back to Maximus. She's like, oh, my God, you were right. You know, and kind of like with an Always Sunny episode where they're like, oh, if we just met up like 2 minutes ago, we would have been on the same side, right? The gun control episode. Oh, man, if we just
crossed
paths,
right.
just barely. Oh, that's interesting. So the dual reversal is great. I love that. But then, of course, we get another joking like, hey, you want to make my cock explode now? Oh, right? God. It's like, that what you were talking about, how like wrong what? Timing, dude. Come on, you had your chance.
Well, not only that, but again, he's finally in a state of comfort. So he's like,
yeah,
I'm ready to explore, man. I'm ready to just like really live life.
Yes.
And
again, but kind of like Lucy, like what else don't I know about? What else? Yeah. You know, you've
but
been living this good life.
This,
clearly.
Yeah. When you're in that net of safety, you're afforded a lot more privilege.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're afforded a lot more freedom to explore yourself.
Yep.
To just really learn things.
Absolutely.
Just in a different way. Again, two sides of the same coin. Like, the vault dwellers are aware of some of the harsh realities, but they are so protected.
Yes.
And the people on the surface are very aware of the harshness of reality, but they're also not aware of the comforts of life.
Yeah.
They're just not afforded it.
I mean, you know, in a way, they're protected from it.
I mean, that...
From the sins,
you know,
right?
Kind of like going back to the pandemic when the celebrities were doing the Imagine video.
Oh, that was painful.
And they're all complaining that they're stuck in their houses and we're like living in one bedroom apartments and they're
paying $2,000 for a one bedroom apartment.
Yeah.
Like, I'm aware of my privilege. I'm very lucky to be where I'm at. I'm in the suburbs and with one roommate. I can afford to live here. Mm-hmm. That's it.
It's pretty nice.
It is nice.
That's pretty nice.
It is. And not everyone is afforded even that.
Mm-hmm.
And people are struggling left and right in this world. And that sucks.
It does. Yes, it fucking
so
does.
So maybe it is time to start looking at communism, eh, comrade?
Matt's opinions are his own and not of other Matt or of...
I mean...
What
just saying,
watched.
You guys both have red pop filters on your microphones.
You're
wearing a bunch of red, Luke. I'm just saying.
He is wearing a bunch of red. I have more crimson, but yes.
I don't care.
I'm red-blooded. Wait a minute.
Get out.
Aren't we all red-blooded?
No. I'm red-blooded American.
No, you're blue-blooded American.
Hell yeah.
Anyway.
So, all right. So, to finish the episode, so Lucy goes off. She's like, I'm going to prove to you what a bad place this vault is. Again, just a wonderful reversal of where she was, going back to the beginning of episode 5 of, oh, she's changed. She really has. Like, something is wrong. I'm going to find out what's wrong with this vault. It's not the best place in the world. Maybe we shouldn't listen to them. She goes off, and she goes to, you know, find what's on level 12, which is the best guarded secret in the entire vault's. Stupid idiots, morons, idiots, savages,
savage idiots,
savages, savages.
But also,
oh my God. Wow, also kind of a deep cut there, but very relevant for what we're talking about.
Yes.
What
the hell was that fish creature, by the way? Like, that
I feel like it was a precursor to a gulper.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
It definitely looked like
looks some
axolotl
version of an axolotl.
Which, again, it
maybe
just,
it was a dead gulper.
Maybe.
I thought it was moving around.
Well, it swam. I mean, I don't think it swam. It kind of floated and hit the glass, but I don't think it looked like it was alive. I don't know.
Regardless, you find out more about Vault-Tec just doing experiments on their vaults.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was the whole point. Have people live and survive in comfort so that they were unaware of what was being truly done to them, except if you were an overseer.
Oh. Yeah, it is a gulper. She watches a video of a woman giving birth to gulpers.
No. I'm talking about when she first walks in
I think that's one of the gulpers the woman was giving birth to.
Which is messed up.
Yes, so then she finds out, so Lucy finds out that there's a bunch of different, I guess she does. She stumbles across the video first, and she watches the birth video, and these fucking gulpers, I guess, the crazy piranha-like creatures eat the thing that just birthed them.
Mm-hmm.
Poor woman. And then she turns around, and she's like, oh, shit, there's like 8 or 12 of these other pregnant women who are just being tested on.
It's reminiscent of Aliens.
Yeah.
When they go to the LV-426 and they see, like, they had already begun experimenting on facehuggers. Good Lord. We've got Vault-Tec. We've got Weyland-Yutani. Are they trying to tell us something about big corporations being evil?
No.
Huh.
Hang on. No, hold on.
Hey, corporations are people, all right? First of all, so...
As decided by the Supreme Court, and they're never wrong.
Ever.
Ever. Period. Ever.
Yeah.
Matthew's opinions are his own and not what we watched.
That's not even your opinion. You're just being a sarcastic...
I'm being facetious as hell.
You're being very facetious.
Facetious.
So Lucy gets confronted by some of the Vault 12 or Vault 4 people, scientists.
Darn.
Oh no! But they do. They capture her, and Cher is there. Again, Cher is there always. She will believe in life after love. No, nope, nothing. All right, that's fine.
I tried,
Boo.
But that was just you're reaching there.
She'll believe in life after genetic mutation.
There we go.
No, actually, better yet. She sees Lucy and says, I got you, babe. That's more of a reference of when she was with Sonny.
I got it.
When it was Sonny?
When Cher was with Sonny?
She's a Balti.
Bring it back. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Balti and Cher.
That was the payoff.
That's it. And then we pull out with Maximus just sitting, eating that popcorn, watching a waterfall, just... Happy as a clam.
I heard they're playing like really calming music.
Yeah.
Like, da,
yep.
Da, da, da. Mm-hmm. It's,
as if nothing in the world is wrong. As if he's in the best place.
All
on
the
Earth.
While she's being dragged to her
demise. Yeah? I don't know. She's been captured by something. She's been captured and she's in a place where she shouldn't be. So,
will Lucy escape from the cultists? Find out next week on Fallout.
Will Maximus get his cock exploded?
Will his cock pop like a pimple? And who the hell is this ghoul anyway?
Do you think Max is going to need to be kind of oiled up because he's used to the suit? Because
he's so... Jesus, Mother Christ. I hope not. I don't want to see that. I don't want to think about that.
Get off that couch, Luke.
All right, so that's the end of episode 6, The Trap, which...
Very apropos.
That's a trap. Didn't feel very trappy to me, not going to lie.
Oh, but it is.
Except it is. You're right. The vault itself is a trap.
The vault is a trap. Vault-Tec as a whole is a trap.
The future.
The future is a trap. Oh, well played.
Thank you.
But no, throughout this episode, Coop is kind of... Like in the flashbacks, anyway, he's recognizing the makings of a trap.
Yeah.
What do you use for a trap? Bait. And what better bait than good advertising and the promise of comfort and safety?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Why? Like that. It's so interesting that all of the rooms in the vaults have windows.
Mm-hmm. To what?
To what?
To what?
To the inside of this menagerie of people that the overseers can look at.
Yeah.
It's another reason why they're called overseers, not presidents or leaders.
There you go.
Overseers.
Yes.
Overseers to what? Experiment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I got my tinfoil hat on. They can't touch me.
You can get your free tinfoil hat from a box of aluminum foil.
Jesus Christ.
True.
But all right, cool. So yeah, so that's the end of episode 6. We got long ways to go, and yet we're almost there. We're almost there. So stick with us for the next episode. Oh, and the end of this episode, the credits scene, the animation pulls out. We have a DJ. We're almost there. We have a DJ booth inside of a radio tower. We pull that out, and there's a whole bunch of booby traps around, so I know exactly where that one's from. That one's relevant in the next episode.
That's right.
But hey, Luke, you might be onto something.
Another there great might be, cameo.
These might be actually alluding to something that happens in each episode.
I know things.
Yeah.
Yes, you do.
Good Congratulations. Job. Pat, pat, pat. All right, well, that'll conclude it for today's episode. Guys, thanks for sticking around. Let us know what you think of episode 6, The Trap. Let us know what you feel about Fallout so far, if they've been living up to expectations, if there's more that you want us to cover, if there's anything else you want us to talk about. Well, we've got a couple episodes left. Please let us know in any comments. We're all over socials. We've got plenty to say. We've got plenty to talk about left, I think I've already said. All right. Oh, no, music's playing. Oh, no. All right, great.
You didn't want us to do the outro? We did the intro for you.
What's it? Oh, yeah.
You've been listening to What We Watch.
Tune in next week.
I'm Brandon Elliott.
I'm Luke Antonio.
You've been listening to What We Watch. This was the episode of The Trap.
I don't know if I like where this is.
This is what it's sound like, Brandon.
All right, I'm going to get out of here, guys. Enjoy the shows. Enjoy the movies. We're going to talk to you later. I'm going to go cry. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.